This is going through different cases. So I want to spend some time just going through regular expansion cases and all the things that are possible with postural orthodontics, and how we can treat even in a lot of people will ask, or can we treat in mixed dentition only, or can we treat in permanent dentition? And I'm not a big advocate of starting treatment with permanent dentition, but the reality is a lot of you are going to get, those that age group. So, when I first started, I did permanent dentition, I did mixed dentition, I did primary dentition, and I worked out what was easy, what was hard, and permanent dentition is hard. Primary dentition isn't easy. Mixed dentition is easy. So I'm always advocating for, beginners to pick the easy stuff. Right? Why do third molar root canals? I mean, does it make any sense? All right, so what happens when we're still in mixed dentition and we make a decision to make more room? If we do this without any concept of the significance of retraining the posture, you get effectively no change to the AP. It is literally just transverse development. So when we have families who don't t take the process seriously, they take the plates seriously, but they don't take the process seriously. You can get a really nice development in transverse. So you can make space for the front teeth to fit, you can unravel the crowding, you can make teeth fit when they're in a class one relationship. Right? So you're in class one, you've got a bit of crowding. Yeah, sure, you can unravel it and make more space for it. But if they don't take your posture seriously, then you're just doing orthodontics, which is fine. It's not an issue, but you're not going to improve anything but getting more room for their teeth. You're not going to improve their airway. You're not going to improve their AP. You're not going to improve their vertical. It's literally just making width for teeth to fit. Where the benefits come in to play is if they change their posture. And sometimes it's really, really difficult to change their posture if they don't have the space for everything to fit. And so you have to make the space so that you change the posture. If they are in a reasonably good position before they hit puberty, and you make a big deal about working on the posture, when they're in that class one relationship, when there's room for that tongue, and then they start taking it seriously, you can actually make, they can make a big change in their growth and development. It doesn't change their skeletal malocclusion. It doesn't change their airway collapsibility. If all you do is expand them, it just doesn't. You help them orthodontically, but so would have fixed braces because it's class one malocclusion. When they come in and they say, "Oh, what about my chin, Simon?" And you say, "Well, do you remember those exercises?" And they say, "Yeah, are you going to give that a go?" And they say, "Yeah." Because there comes a point where they want to look better. And so you work on their posture now. And you really hammer it home as being important. And because they have a good bite and because their tongue fits. They will start to make very, 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 very small changes. But if they continue to maintain that bite relationship, and if they continue to improve their posture, you will see almost no skeletal change for the first 4 years. Almost no skeletal change. All right, you cannot expect a skeletal change in a 4 year timeline. Unless you hit them exactly at 7, when true mandibular rotation is tracking the most prominently. All right. Did he improve his tongue posture in 4 years? No, he didn't. His tongue's still not on the palate. Oh, but Simon, is there anything I can do about my chin? Dude, we've been speaking about this for 4 years. Have you been doing my exercises? What exercises? All right, this is just nice orthodontic change with a couple of plates. Then he disappears for a bit. And he's a dude when he comes back. Oh. What happened? Oh, I've been doing this mewing thing. So long as they can hold good posture, you have enough time and enough patience, you can make a very big change. Will you get everything in? No. Didn't take it seriously until he hit puberty. Will he need his wisdom teeth out? Sure, of course. We very often are so crowded that the permanent incisors wipe out all the primary canines. All right, so this is very common. Either the permanent incisors wipe out the primary canines, or there's so much crowding that the orthodontic prescription is please extract upper and lower primary canines. And then all of a sudden, wow, what amazing orthodontics. We've got bucket loads of space now, right? Except six teeth have to fit where four are comfortable now. Right. So what happens if we do nothing at this point in time? Like, what happens to this 8-year-old that's either had their C's wiped out through ectopic eruptions of the laterals, or some bright orthodontist has been told that if there's not enough room for the permanent incisors, if you take out the primary canines, then it's like all good. Like, it's all good all around. And it is until it's time for the canines to come through, and guess what? They're blocked. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to take out the lower D's, aren't we? So the canines can erupt. And then what happens? What happens? What happens when it's time for the premolars to erupt? Well, we're going to take them out, right? It's called serial extractions. And it's a tried and tested method, works beautifully, but it never addresses the etiology of the problem. So what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Well, we're eight. We're right in the middle of true mandibular rotation. If we can create that optimum scenario again, we might be able to stimulate forward rotation if we address the posture at the same time. And we might be able to get more teeth to fit properly. Are those canines going to fit? Like, what's going to happen when all these ectopically erupted sixes have eaten all your E's away? Right? So these are really, really complicated cases because they're eight, but then they're presenting like they're 11 in some cases or 12 in some cases, yet we're less than seven for canine eruption, right? So this is very common. It's all over the place. The gonial notch is enormous. The gonial angle is enormous. We've got a divergent case, but we're growing down at the same time to compensate. All sorts of things. Why are we growing down? Well, because we took out the C's, and instead of the incisors erupting proclined, they erupted straight down and met each other in a normal overbite-overjet relationship before he turned eight. Because we knew that this is the right thing to do, right? We don't want teeth to erupt proclined. We want them to erupt vertically because that's what looks good in adults. So what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Well, we make space. We make space and we retrain him. And we wait. It takes a long time. We make the space and we hold that space and we wait. And we wait for his canines to come through, his premolars to come through, his 12-year-old molars to come through. It takes a long time. But we save him for premolars extraction and we give him a chance to stop that backwards rotation because we are addressing it. So that when he hits puberty, and it's time for him to see the orthodontist, they'll say, "Yeah, I can put braces on you, get your teeth real straight." Of course he can. Oh, what about your plan for a serial extraction? Oh, he just grew up. You got lucky. Well, yes, he just grew well. And yes, he got lucky. But I knew what I was doing. If we treat these kids like our own and not plan a 9 to 12 month treatment plan to see how fast a buck we can make. We can take children who are older, and I tell you, don't take children who are older, but I know this to be something that we will have to do in time. And as your experience is gained, you will be able to take older children. And we develop them in width. We recognize the divergent nature of their growth. And we create a buckiness to their front teeth in order to get a little bit of additional space so that we can re-stimulate some semblance of type 2 forward growth. We recognize that not every child who presents as a chronological age is that biological age. So we have a little bit more time for growth to work for us because just because they're almost 11 doesn't mean biologically that's their age. So we steal back some time and we procline their incisors a little bit so that we get a semblance of capacity for type 2 rotations. Now, why don't I advocate this for all newbies? Because if we don't tip those teeth forward a little bit, they don't have any hope for type 2 rotation. But most newbies do not have the experience, the wisdom, and the fortitude to tip teeth forward because it looks wrong. And when the parents challenge them, they fold and they put the brackets on and they retract it back. Instead of having the confidence to say, this is how she should have grown when she was 7, but she didn't because of bad posture. So we're trying to recreate some of those conditions, make that tongue space. And if her posture is improved, then she'll leapfrog ahead when puberty hits into a good place. And when we work on that posture, we hold that vertical from deteriorating. We maintain that protrusiveness. Or tongue space. And we keep training them, training them, training them to change their posture through our exercise program. And when their posture improves, something changes in their pharyngeal space. Something changes for the better. Look at the pharyngeal space at the higher level at 10 and 3 quarters. Look at the pharyngeal space at the higher level at 12 and 3 quarters. We work on the posture after we've changed the structure to allow us to have a little bit more type 2 forward rotation, and we work on it, and we work on it, and we work on it. And we can make a change. We can make a change, a real change, a noticeable change. When our posture becomes strong, we can say, hey, at the hyoid level, this is less than a centimeter. This is more than 15 millimeters. This is 2 centimeters in pharyngeal space. When we understand how much an influence posture has on growth and development, when we are in tune with how long growth and developmental changes take place, when we recognize the requirements of space between teeth, primate space between teeth, and we do not shy away from slight procrastination in early treatment periods, we can make enormous change without all the fancy gadgets that you think you need in order to make big change. It takes a long time, about 7 years, for skeletal change to materialize. It requires a very shallow overbite relationship. It requires adequate space for the tongue. It requires a very tightly controlled posture. It requires patience. It requires discipline and commitment. You can make enormous change with a few plastic plates and a few exercises, but you've got to understand how growth works. You've got to be able to be patient. You've got to be able to be in it for the long haul. We need to strike at the right moments when there's a hint of canines locked into class three, when we're tight for space. Sometimes we can make a big change in a very short timeline. We claim to be interested in maxillary expansion, yet we never expand the mandibular arch, and then we are limited to, oh, we can't go anymore because we'll be in scissors bite. When we recognize that the lower arch is very malleable in the early years because it's all dental alveolar, we can make enormous change. But recognize at what point enough is enough. At what point are we going to overexpand and force a too vertical a direction of eruption? And if that happens, can we use the technology of the appliance to retip those teeth out? All right. And you can, if you understand how you can utilize cat wires to tip incisors as they erupt, as they should, you can make big change in relatively short timelines. And the children can grow as they should. Maintaining is very difficult if you overexpand. If you overexpand, like I used to, you are stealing forward growth off the table from the child if you don't have control of the cat wires. How do we take a steep gonial notch with a divergent growth pattern, and how do we flatten it out? How do we take, a black run and turn it into a green run? That's the goal, by increasing type two forward rotation. Maintaining that slight open bite is critical. Not allowing teeth to overlap into that 3 or 4 millimeters of overbite that all orthodontists love. Continuing with strong posture through re-emphasizing the swallow. Okay, not letting it go until we hit that second decade, where the true mandibular rotation starts to slow down. It's a green run. Used to be a black run. Didn't do fancy orthotropics. All right, we don't let those teeth come into adult relationships until the second decade. If we recognize a class three malocclusion as one that is a deficiency in the maxilla rather than a excess in the mandible, then we can target that fairly quickly early, and we can correct that malocclusion. We recognize how big the tongue is, so we will need a certain degree of transverse expansion. We need to create a relationship that will encourage type 2 forward rotation when we get into the mixed-dentition relationship. We've done most of the structural changes. Now we want to continue to make sure the exercises are ongoing. We brought the maxilla forward through expansion and headgear pull, face mask pull. Because we recognize that this was a deficiency of the maxilla. When we overexpand, unfortunately, because we don't understand growth. And I never, it wasn't like I understood growth from the get-go, right? I had to learn about growth through reading research, not through being taught this in the training programs that I underwent. Strong posture. But teeth erupting far too vertically, meeting too early in the middle. All right, taking forward growth off the table if we let the incisors meet too early. When we look at it and think, and we don't understand growth, we think it's a fantastic job. But when we understand the nature of good growth, we know that we've taken forward growth off the table. Still a great place to be, but not as optimal as if I had understood growth and development. All right, so this lateral is erupting correctly. These, because of overexpansion, dropped in too quickly. Are we infinitely better than we used to be? Sure, of course. Had we taken things off the table of where he could have become more ideal? I think so. But this is just something that over time I've learned. I do things differently now. Not hugely differently, but with better understanding. So, deficient maxilla, we pull it forward. Make some room. And and work on posture, but not understanding true mandibular rotation, I stole forward rotation from this boy's life. Still, maintaining a slight overjet, overbite is at a minimum. We kept training him, and in time, because there was no contact with the incisors, there was ongoing continual rotation of the chin position. Here's a girl that came to me. She'd been under the care of the orthodontist. Had her in anterior brackets and doing all sorts of interesting things. Arch expansion, some alignment. So they've been in treatment since she was 7. Didn't look like things were getting any better, so they came to me and said, "Hey, what do you reckon? Do you think there's anything we can do to make things better, considering the 6 and the 4 are touching?" So the 6-year-old molar is touching the first premolar, yeah? Is that a happy thing? I don't think that's a happy time. And here she is after a few years of me trying to work really hard. And her sticking her tongue suction to the roof. So is she in a great place? No. Is she a billion times better than when she was when we were just using mechanics without any concept of how growth works? Yeah. So Max came in at 5, and the pediatric dentist was concerned about his development. And so we looked at Max, and he was just a typical little kid, syndromic little kid. And we thought, oh, he seems a bit narrow in the face. In fact, he's actually really crowded in his primary dentition. And Max is the most crowded kid I've ever seen in my life. Max has not got a face worth writing home about, and the most crowded dentition I've seen ever. Because he's crowded in his primary dentition. So we thought, well, that's not going to work, so we better do something about it. So we expanded him. Made some space. The max was already 5. What do you think the sixes were doing at 5 to the roots of those e's? So Max wasn't particularly helpful in doing his exercises, so he grew straight down as expected. So, of course, the sixes basically ate through all the e's. So we had to reopen some space because you can't have a 6 and the D in contact with each other. So we made some more space and we started to have the family understand, because of my constant, never-ending nagging about posture, about doing the exercises. So Max started to do the exercises as well as wear his plates. So we maintained a slight proclination, held his teeth from socking in at the front, and we reopened some space for his premolars. We used sagittal appliance, we used transverse appliances, we did as much as we could to get as much back as he should. So we reopened the space by distalizing the sixes. But guess what his laterals did to his canines, right? So what happens when you're that crowded at 5? Well, your life is not good for the future. So we had to hold that space from collapsing now. So now Max is part of the practice furniture and part of my family. And they've heard me talk over so many years now about posture that they've already started to take it as gospel. So here's Max at 10, syndromic boy who looks like a normal kid, who has incisors that are in a reasonable relationship, who has space for canines, first premolar, second premolar, and first molar and second molar. But we had him in long-term nighttime retention to make sure the space doesn't collapse. And we continued to follow him. Until his teeth could come through where they're supposed to. So here's Max at 11, still got his mouth open. But mum reminds him, his brother reminds him, he reminds himself. It's a hard habit to break. And here's Max now. Permanent canines coming through. The tongue space. And he grew forward. And interestingly enough, here's the most spectacular change in PSQ forms I've ever seen, from 12 to 4. So he was 12 after they'd taken his adenoids and tonsils out. After my first round of expansion, he dropped from 12 to 4, with obviously the exercises to help make that transition a reality. Is there any benefit to treating a class one crowded patient? Yes, there is. In fact, they're the best cases to treat with mild malocclusion. What happens when you take a class one crowded patient and you add in expansion and posture retraining? You get this. That's what you get. Like, why would you make your life any more difficult? Why would you start on a Max and not on a Lily? This is the thing that I think is so important for people to understand. We are drawn, of course, to children who are severely handicapped by their malocclusion. But it's the most difficult thing to treat. And if you don't have the experience, it's like you starting your practice with full mouth rehabilitations. You've never cut a crown before in your whole life, and your first patient of the day is a full mouth rehabilitation. It's like, seriously? Here we are in a place that we probably shouldn't be, but we're still a class one malocclusion case. So we have primary molars still intact. So, yeah, it's a good one to do. So we make some space and we just wait and hold for the teeth to drop in. You train the posture and it gets better and you get more type 2 forward growth. Make some room, work on GOPEX, work on GOFEX, hold teeth from moving away from what the position they should be, maintain and stimulate forward type 2 rotation. Make some room, retrain the child, hold the incisors from coming into too tight a contact, train the posture, let the chin rotate up and forward. Keep those teeth tipped, work on the posture. And when it's time for them to meet in the middle after that 3-year journey, we start to get the benefits of all that hard work. Takes 4 years for a chin to grow. Takes 4 years for a child's chin to grow. Our timelines of treatment are too short. Our focus is too short. Our understanding of growth is too myopic. We don't actually know what we're doing most of the time. We don't have to do really complex orthotropics. We can just utilize postural orthodontics at the right age to make really significant changes. Sometimes it's just all about the teeth. Sometimes it's got nothing to do with growth. It's just someone wasn't paying attention to the teeth. And you think, well, what did you do in this case? It's not like you did anything. It didn't get any better. Well, this is how he came at 11. He'd been under the care of a provider who's been using that wonderful contraption called MyBrace. And they're just waiting for everything to resolve itself when he learns to wear this thing at night long enough. So, what did I do? What did Simon do? What was so important about what I've done here? Doesn't look like I've done anything, does it? He's just changed some teeth over. But what about here? How did I get this molar that is in line with the E to become class one relationship with the six? And what is this tooth? And where is this tooth? What's happened here? Not much. What's happened here? Why is that six here in line with the middle of the E? And how did that six go back all the way in past being in line with that six here? Well, we opened this screw that much. Oh, why did you do that? What happens when the six is on top of the E, which is on top of the second premolar? What kind of mind brace is going to fix that? Why did no one notice this? Oh, they don't take X-rays in that clinic. How's a surgeon going to pull out this ear? When I've given a surgeon straight on access, what do they say to me before the operation? Oh, thanks, Simon. Sometimes it's nothing to do with anything other than teeth, isn't it? Well, that's not quite right there. That's 12. That's 11. That's 12. So, high angle class 3. Primary dentition. Open bite tendency. Low tongue posture, crowding. Make some space. Reverse pull. Work on the posture. Not easy. Tongue is still low. Despite years and years of retraining. Here we're at 9. Tongue stuck to the roof even with the teeth apart. Because when we took that x-ray at 8, guess who yelled at the little girl? What the hell is that tongue doing down there? After 3 years of me training you to have that tongue on the roof. Tears all around. 6 months later, tongue stuck to the palate. Look, Simon. Here we're at 10. How important are the exercises? How important are the plates? Well, let's see. Everyone is obsessed by the appliances. They're obsessed by the appliances. And the appliances are amazing. They take kids and transform the arch form. They give them that nice broad smile that everyone loves. They make no difference to AP, but no one's ever looking at AP. Everyone's looking at the front, right? Everyone's looking at the front. Look how amazing that is. We've made space. Oh, but the teeth, they're almost class one. Yeah. They went from class two to almost class one. Good job. Right. The plates, amazing. Make enormous difference. They make an enormous difference. Lower, the upper, it's all like amazing stuff. Don't forget. Gotta practice exercises. Yep, not a problem. Oh, they come back. I don't know how many months later. Not heard from them for ages. What was this? September 2018. Yep, 6 months they disappeared for. I think something's wrong, Simon, Mum says. Oh, yeah, what? Well, his teeth look nice. But I think his chin's not growing properly. Oh. And then we have a look out the door, and he's playing on the Xbox PlayStation with his mouth wide open. I said, "Do you see that?" She said, "Yeah." Got his mouth open. Oh. He's always had his mouth open, she says. Yes. What were we trying to change? And you could hear crickets, right? Had no idea what I was trying to change. So his teeth look good because the plates worked to make it wider. But his chin refused to grow in the forward type 2 rotation because his mouth was open all the time. Why didn't his teeth relapse? He was wearing his retainer. So now, oh, we're serious now, Simon. We're serious. We're going to do it. Sure. Give it a go. But is it a decent change? Hardly. Is he reasonable? Hardly. He's just got no crowding. He's got space in transverse. You see what happens when you don't pay attention to the posture and only rely on the appliances? Is he better at 13 than he was at 11? No, he's worse. Is he better than when he was 12? Yeah. Here he is at 15. Not like the other 15-year-olds you've been watching me display, is it? How are those exercises going? What exercises? Still wearing your trainers? Yeah, every night. We underestimate the benefits of posture and we overestimate the benefits of appliances. So that's literally just the only point that I'm trying to make. All right, so that ends our